So do you feel nervous when you stand up in front of somebody or have to produce a paper or a piece of your career or talk to somebody recently? In fact, it was your dear brother, Bruce Schick. Bruce has now flown down to be with his son and daughter-in-law in Colorado Springs. He graduated from his rehab center treatment. 6 months he went through rehabilitation in the rehab center in Anchorage. And on, it happened a couple of times, but his last week he got the, I don't want to say honor position, but he got recognition as the guy in the entire program of over 50 men who was that week excelling at the things he was asked to do. He had already won that honor before in their program, but he couldn't stop talking about how nervous he was that because he was graduating last Wednesday night, he had to stand up and say something. And all he had to do was say a few words, but that terrified him. Somebody asked me a week ago or so, you know, about something, and I said, well, my nervousness on Sunday, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And he looked at me and said, you're nervous? I said, every Sunday. And he said, why would you be nervous? I said, because I'm standing up in front of a bunch of people having to say something. Bruce wanted me to know, me to tell you that his thanks and his love go to you. He mentioned you specifically. He said, the only reason I'm here, the only reason I'm successful, he thanks Jesus first, and he thanked you all second. He said, my brothers and sisters at my church helped me get here and stuck with me so that I could be successful through this program. He mentioned some of you specifically by name, but I'll tell you all that later. He's coming back. He said, please tell him I'm coming back. I love him, and I'm coming back. I just had to, somebody else bought his ticket, and he ended up flying out on Saturday before he could see you. But getting nervous and being afraid of things and being in distress is normal. It's a normal part of our life. Why is it so normal? Because we're so flawed. We are weak. And we don't know what the next 5 minutes has, much less the next year. What we just read in Psalm 18 is about David's stress and his distress and his fears. The great warrior, the killer of Goliath, the king of Israel, one of the wealthiest men on the earth and one of the most powerful positions in the region, loved by God and supported by his people, talks about his anguish and his need for salvation and his worry and his and the burden he's carrying. I call out to my God in my distress. I cry for help. A man of God, afraid and trembling. So, don't be afraid of being afraid. Don't be embarrassed by being in distress. Don't let the burden of feeling those things weigh you down than the things themselves. But know who to call on. That's the beauty of what David gives us here. In his fear and in his worry and in his stress and in his distress, he calls on God. He calls on his Lord. And as James reminded us, God is our Father. And we get to call him Father. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen gives a lesson. Stephen is confronted by the Jews as to what kind of twist and change he's bringing to the Jewish faith. And so he goes back and tells them about their God and what their God has done. And he says in verse 32, quoting God talking to Moses, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob." And Moses trembled and did not dare to look. And the Lord said to him, "Take off the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, and I will send you to Egypt." God is always in the business of sending people. God prepares people and sends them to take care of jobs. God does not prepare programs and then tries to fit people into programs. God develops people and gives them missions. Our Father said, "I am the God of your fathers." God identifies us and reassures us that the men, in this case Moses, that the men who went before Moses, the father of the people of Israel, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, knew God. "Your fathers knew me and I knew them. I'm their God." And this lineage of fatherhood is now being handed to Moses, that "I have something for you to do as my man in this place." Our modern society is taking one blow after another in attacking our families. Our modern society is becoming clearer and more vehement in tearing down and attacking the structure of man and woman and children that God put together so simply and so powerfully. God has a plan for us, that young men and women would grow up to know him, that they would find each other in romance and in care, that they would be devoted to each other for the rest of their lives as husband and wife, and that core would bring children up in safety and love and security. The percentage is in the 20s, less than 25% of families in our country have that structure of a father and a mother and children that are biologically theirs. God deals with families of every shape, size, kind. He's a God who loves us in every situation, and he certainly addresses all sorts of family dynamics in the Bible. There are plenty of places in the Bible where loving parents raise somebody who isn't biologically their own child. God talks about bringing us into his family in adoptions. He certainly understands death and life and brokenness and recovery. So I am not by any means saying that that's the only place that you can walk in strength and success with God. I'm simply saying that that's what God intends us to do. It's the best way to walk through life, is to walk with him and have his kind of devoted path for our families. But those families need strong men. However you build them, however you structure them, and recover them or put them together, families do so much better when they have strong men to love them and lead them. One research sociologist, in looking at our broken communities, in looking at communities that need so much rescue, where crime and gangs and drugs and dropout, pregnancies outside of marriage, unemployment, violence in families, violence against women, where these things are epidemic, How do you solve that? Well, you solve it by giving people jobs, right? You solve it by creating community programs. You build community centers. You bring in industry where people can get work. You strengthen the police force so you can cut down on the crime and the drug use. You bring in drug rehabilitation programs, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they said, what would you do? This man was a very well thought of, and it was in a program trying to solve this on a large level. How do you help fix our broken communities in this country? He said, I would save the boys. Excuse me, please explain that. I would save the boys so that they could have a chance to become strong, stable men. If you could create a generation or so of strong, stable men, you could fix almost every one of those systemic problems. The violence, the crime, the unstable families, the drugs, the dropout. Save the boys. Give young women somebody who will respect them and marry them and protect them. The power of a man's life is incredible for good and for evil. It is incredible how much a man can do with his life. You don't need much to reassure you of the evil. Just noticing the images of what's going on in Iran right now. In Iraq right now. The insurgents, the rebels that are retaking and crushing the governmental forces and retaking the northern part of the country. Any women in those rebel forces? Not that I see, especially not in that culture. A man has a tremendous amount of power in his life. He can do a tremendous amount of destruction. He can gather together as a gang or as a rebel force and do all sorts of heinous and difficult and horrific things. But if you take that same young man's life and you give him hope and purpose and love and care and direction, oh, he's a powerful force in God's hands for good. Incredible how much energy and how much a strength that God has put into a man's life. Men are different than women. They have different potential than women. Women have all sorts of strength and wisdom and resilience. Women have all sorts of powerful ways to resolve things and to knit communities together and to succeed in all kinds of ways. But a man has a different kind of energy, has a different kind of potential. It's wonderful that we take a day and honor fathers. But I want us to pay attention to men, young men, fathers, boys all around us, because we need them so badly. We need men to be men of strength and morality and confidence. That's the catchphrase, that's the goal, that's the motto of our fairly small men's group get-togethers. Strong, moral, confident. Strong, moral, confident. Strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, Ephesians 6:10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might is the introductory line to wearing the armor of God. Men who know God and are strong in their faith, who, like David, when distress and pain and trouble and anguish come upon them, they don't bristle up and fight back. They say, Father, what do you want me to do here? Men who are strong enough not to hit back. Men who are strong enough not to get revenge. Men who are strong enough to care for the weak and the hurting around them. Put the trouble on their lives and take care of those who are hurting around them. Psalm 128 is a psalm all about fathers. Psalm 128 is entirely about men. I want to turn there for a minute. Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine. In the very heart of your house, your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. The Lord bless you out of Zion. May you see the good of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel. From a man's heart who fears God, to a man's wife who loves him and blesses him, to his children who rally around him and nurture him like an olive plants bring fruit out of their lives, to finally at the end, seeing your grandchildren being raised in the Lord. What a blessing this is. And on Father's Day, I rejoice that we can look around us and see so many men who are walking this kind of path, who love God, who protect and lead and care for their families, and are receiving the blessings of grandchildren who are being raised up in Christ and are hugging them and encouraging their lives. There's so much potential in a man's life, potential for evil or potential for good. It's part of the reason our society is so exasperated with men, because when we weaken the family, and we have been doing that magnificently as a nation, weakening families, I won't get into that, that's more political than spiritual, but it's happening all over the place, undercutting families with monies and programs and encouragements to have broken families and children outside of marriage, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We are perpetuating a weakness to our families. And out of that, you get young men who don't know or don't have confidence in their own walk because they didn't have a father who was there or didn't have a father who was confident in his walk. And so we perpetuate this weakness. You can stop it. You can stop it by pulling a young man close. Girls, we love you. This is Father's Day, so give me a break here. We're trying to get you a good husband, right? Lifting up the fathers around you, honoring the men around you, respecting who they are and how they think and the direction that God has for them, lifting them up and praising them, thanking God for them, spending time with them. Proverbs 29, correct thy son and he shall give thee rest. He shall be a delight to your soul. A child with guidance, a child with correction, a child with a loving, firm, directing hand, a child to whom time is given by a loving parent is a well-directed tool for God. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. The Bible is not talking about beatings. The Bible is talking about stiff, loving correction. We should never confuse the two. That our children need strong, stable, loving directions from their parents, powerfully from their fathers. Strong, moral, confident. Let's look at Psalm 18. Turn to Psalm 18, because we'll spend much of our time there, what Isaac read for us when we started. Verse 2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. You know, the main areas of a man's life are his family, his church, and his work. His family, his church, and his work. Himself is a integral part of every bit of that, and that requires its own bit of attention. That inside of a man's heart and inside of a man's thoughts, all these things are permeating too. But the way a man shows himself is in his family, his church, and his work. And a strong man in those powerful areas, all of them given to men by God. All three of those specifically given to men by God. In a different way, specifically and clearly in a different way than God has given family, church, and work to women. They have those too, but men are given to them by God differently. And in those three situations, when you have a man who is doing what David did here, and finding his strength in the Lord. God has given us physical strength. Our bodies react to physical stress differently than women. Our muscles bulk up bigger and more powerfully. We tend to be taller and more massive than women. All for a purpose. We're supposed to be physically strong. We're supposed to be mentally clear and focused. Men are singular in their thinking, and they tend to be directional in their thinking. Women tend to be circular in their thinking. They involve all sorts of ideas simultaneously. Men tend to be A, and then B, and then C. That's very strong. That's not never to be belittled. That's powerful and useful and necessary to do all kinds of work and all kinds of jobs with clarity and strength and purpose. Those are a man's strength given to him by God. But a man here is also a man of strong faith, strong character, strong heart, strong in the Lord. Look down to verse 18 of Psalm 18. They confronted me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my support. He brought me into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. The Lord dealt with me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he rewarded me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his rules were before me, and his statutes I did not put away from me. I was blameless before him. I kept myself from my guilt. So the Lord has rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his sight. With the merciful, you show yourself merciful. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. With the purified, you show yourself pure. With the crooked, you make yourself seem tortuous. You save a humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. A man of God has the instructions of God, the word of God, the path and the way of God. It is so necessary. It is so important to be with your church family, to be in the word throughout the week. Coming to church and reading the Bible every week does not save you. Coming to church does not save you, but not coming to church service will kill you. You pull yourself away. You make it a pattern in your life not to be active in God's word, not to be active with his church, not to be devoted to the Lord, but to be a Christian on the circumference or on the edges. I'll just show up when it's convenient. You'll kill yourself, and you'll kill your children, and you'll kill your grandchildren. That pattern is so powerful. That settled pathway is so a driven part of your family's life, how you pattern yourself. Make your walk be a walk in the Lord and in the light of God. Make your walk to be by the word of God. Strong men who are moral are powerful of people in our community. They're powerful people in our families and in our churches. They're incredibly powerful people at work. You all, the people who work with you, tell me about your wonderful lives and about how motivated they are to know you and to work with you. I'm touched and I'm honored when I hear about so many of your neighbors and so many of your workplaces where people are really inspired by who you are and what you do. Strong, moral, confident. Verse 28. For it is you who light my lamp. The Lord my God lightens my darkness. For by you I can run against a troop, and by my God I can leap a wall. For this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. For who is God but the Lord? Who is a rock except our God? For God equipped me with strength and made my way blameless. He made my feet like the feet of a deer and set me secure on the heights. He trains my hands for war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have given me a shield of your salvation, and your right hand supported me, and your gentleness made me great. You gave me a wide place for my steps under me, and my feet did not slip. Every one of us is nervous. Every one of us has a lack of confidence in certain, sometimes big, important areas of our lives. Honey, did that baby come with an instruction book? Because I don't know the first thing about being a father. I do not know how to do this. I'm moving to a new community, and I don't know anybody there. There are all kinds of places where we feel like we have no confidence. We don't know what to do. But when we walk with God, he gives us wide places to stand. Like these goats and sheep who zip up and down the mountain crags, and you go, how did that thing do that? God gives you feet so that you can climb the nearly impossible, impossibly difficult places of life. God has given you feet like a deer, so you can be secure while you're climbing the terrifying places of this life. And this life has plenty of terrifying places. I have no idea what to say to them. I don't know how. I don't know what. Just talk. Just talk to them. Okay, I'll try. Father, please help me out here because I don't know what to do with this situation. Men of strength, men of morality, and men of confidence. All in the Lord, all with God, all because of who he is and what he has done for us. Ladies, today, give the guys around you an extra appreciation. Brothers, men, take this walk with God to those ends. Strong, moral, confident. I don't feel strong. I know. I'm not asking for feelings. I think immorally all the time. If you know the thoughts that I had in my head, believe me, I know the thoughts you have in your head. It hits all of us. And I don't feel confident. I know you don't feel confident at all. That's why we constantly go back to God. Because our strength is not our strength, it's God's strength. And our righteousness is not our righteousness, it's God's righteousness. And our confidence is not confidence in ourselves, it's confidence in our Heavenly Father. That we can be a man wherever God has put us. And we can take these young men and these boys around here and help them in their walk to make the decisions to be men of strength and men of morals and men of confidence. Strong, moral, confident. Thank you so much for your attention this morning. If there's any here today who are ready to be baptized into Christ, we'd like to help you begin your walk in the Lord. If any have any other need that we're coming down and letting us know about, we can help you with, please come and let us know while we stand and sing the song that James has selected.